Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 337, and we are now in chapter 18 of the book of Numbers, the instructions that God gives to Aaron and to his sons in terms of the priesthood, and also the prohibition, under no circumstance, that God is warning Aaron not to allow anyone to enter into the temple, into the tabernacle at this point, unless he's a priest. And God makes it very plain that only the ones that he appointed, they are the only ones who are allowed to approach him and to do the service that he gave them. And that became a principle for all generations to come, not only in terms of the priesthood, but also in terms of the prophets, and for that matter later on in terms of doing the work. In other words, unless God calls anyone to serve him on a personal basis, they should not be there. And a lot of people, obviously, have done their own thing. And it is for that reason that Israel had many false prophets. You see, very few of the righteous ones, of the ones that God personally called to his service, and very many false prophets. In other words, anyone that God has not called and spoken his name when he hasn't spoken through him became a false prophet. And unfortunately, that goes on to this very day. And among many of the congregations of God, there are an awful lot of false prophets there, just like we've been warned. As Jesus Christ told us, that people are not going to keep this law that he gave Aaron and the prohibition that he made very clear here and what the consequences would be. But he said, many shall come in my name. You see, he's already made it very plain that he had chosen a certain number of people, few people, sometimes even women there, like prophetesses, and they are the only ones who are to speak in his name. And he'd not tolerate anyone else to come and do it, regardless of their intentions and sincerity and righteousness or whatever it may be. Unless God calls us, we have no business being there. And this is the message that he gave us from the beginning. And then he said, many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ. So I'm going to preach about Jesus Christ, about him being the King of Israel, the Redeemer, the Savior, you know, the one that gave his life for us, through whom we have salvation. And they're going to tell an awful lot of good things. But they're going to deceive many. Since he hasn't called them, they're going to pontificate. They're going to add their own things there. They're going to speak from their own mind. You see, Moses never spoke from his own mind. The prophets of Israel never spoke from their own minds. And the priest of God never did anything in the tabernacle from their own mind. You see? God was the one behind everything that they have done. And so God did not want anybody else, any stranger, and everybody else, you know, who is not of the priesthood or of the prophets or of the leadership that God has called, the ministry, whatever it may be, you see, becomes a stranger as far as God is concerned. And strangers are not allowed in. And when they do, they take it upon themselves. And a lot of them generally say, well, the Lord put it in my heart. The Lord called me, and the Lord this, and the Lord that. That was their line that they always used. And maybe in their own minds, they really believed that that's the way it was. You see? They're not necessarily malicious or vicious people. But God hasn't called them. And they dare to approach him without permission, without invitation. And they do the work of the thing, you know, God called them to do. That's what all the prophets were doing. They didn't wake up one day and said, I want to be a false prophet. And I'm going to do a work. Nobody thinks that way. You see? They all think, the Lord put it in my heart to go and do this and do that. And so you see it everywhere. You see it men doing it. You see it women doing it. You see husband-wife teams doing it. Why? Because the Lord put it in my heart to do it. And God says, they speak, and I haven't sent them. And they always say, the Lord, you know, said that, and the Lord hasn't said that. Now, fortunately, many people do not get the message because they haven't studied the law of God to understand the way God does his word. And in the New Testament, when you read the instructions of the disciples, you don't see anything different. You see? And that's very unfortunate. And so to this very day, now we have that. We have a new movement, even among those people that knew better, people of God, churches of God, those who have the Holy Spirit, You see those rising among us, and we've been warned about that, that many are going to come in the name of Christ and are going to deceive many, and many wise men and women, you see, or people that had known better, and they claim that the Lord, you know, put it in my heart, and they begin to twist the scriptures and say, well, this isn't what Paul meant, and this isn't what this one meant, and this isn't what it says here, and this isn't what it says there. Anything to justify themselves, why they are where they are, you see, why they do what they do. Well, all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and what are they going to say at that point? Well, the reality is that all of us, if we're the very elect, as Jesus Christ made very plainly, a lot of people will come and do even signs and wonders and miracles, because the devil is going to pick on people like that and is going to allow them to do certain things. He's going to empower them. You know, that's the use of the word they use today a lot. You know, we want to be empowered. We want to empower women to do that because they all have gifts, of course. Of course, we all have gifts, you see. We have talents and abilities, and oftentimes people mistake that for gifts that God gave us. It has nothing to do with gifts that God gave us to do His service, you see. God gives a lot of people a lot of talents. It doesn't mean that He calls them to do His service on a personal basis, you see. And they use that a lot. You know, we want to be empowered, and we want to do this and that, and then look into the Bible and then take all kinds of examples where he's that person and he's this person. Fine. Every single one of those persons that are there have been called by God directly, be it man or woman. And that's the difference between those and the ones that claim, well, no, this is my example, I'm going to follow in their footsteps without being called by God to do so. And that's a tragedy. But Christ said, even though people like that will come and do even signs and wonders and miracles, you see, if it was possible, he said, even the very elect will be deceived. But because they're the very elect, because they study the law of God and they know the limitations and prohibitions, and they know the law of God, and then all those laws that we shall read later on about false prophets and how to test them and prove the spirits and try and test them, you know, as we read about some churches in Revelation that have done that, and God commended them for it, Jesus Christ commended them for it, of trying and proving those who claim to be apostles, you see, and to know that they are not really, they're just concocting it in their own brain, and they are not, and they didn't follow them. And so he said, but the very elect are not really going to follow them because they are the very elect. So that, you know, it's a warning to all of us. And we should not just pretend or think or believe or say, well, you know, the Lord called me, you know, it's in my heart, I feel it that way, you see. And when you listen to radio messages nowadays, you know, among the churches, Protestant churches, I don't know about Catholics, but you hear it a lot there. Messages specifically, sort of commercials, calling people to the ministry, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, unhappy with life and restless and things like that, maybe God is calling you. You see? Well, people begin to believe that and begin to do it. And they call themselves, claiming that God had done it. And that deception is spreading everywhere. Why? The devil is preparing the work. He's doing his thing, knowing what's coming very soon. And so exactly what Christ said will happen is happening, just like in the days of old. Many shall come in His name, and this last generation you are going to see many more than ever before. And even some of them, you know, will claim to be Jesus Christ Himself, many false Christs, and they will lead people after themselves. And yet, those of us who are the very elect are going to hear the voice of Christ. We are going to be His sheep. And those who are dumb sheep, and they are not His sheep, they aren't going to hear it and know the difference, you see. So we're going to find out one of these days. And God made it very plain. He does not want people that should not be there to do a work that He hasn't given them, no matter how sincere they are. And there are a lot of people out there in religion. They think, well, God called me to the ministry. Or, you know, you find it in every religion. You find it in Judaism. You find it in among the Protestants, among the Catholics, you know, among everyone. You know, you find it in other religions too. They feel, you know, their God, whatever their God is, you know, Buddhism, Shintoism, whatever religion they are, you know, is putting it in their heart, you know, to serve Him. And so they dedicate themselves to Him, men and women, you know, monks and things like that. Nothing new about that. It's been like that from the beginning. And God said He's going to deal with this problem.
and he's going to deal with this kind of people that claim that God spoke through them. As a matter of fact, let's read it in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. And here we read where God is giving a message to the end-time generation, a warning to his people. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. Just like he said in Matthew 24, many shall come in my name. That's the first warning he gave to his disciples when they asked him about the temple. He in essence says, you know, don't worry about the temple. That's not the main thing. The main thing is the deception that is coming, the great falling away that the Apostle Paul will talk about later. The grievous wolves that come from within, you know, appearing as angels of light, ministers of righteousness. And they know the Bible oftentimes pretty good, pretty well. And, you know, they're going to deceive many with that. And oftentimes they're sincere, they are not even aware of it. They don't know who is using them, what spirit is in them. And maybe very good people, oftentimes charming, charismatic, you see. But it didn't make any difference. No matter how charismatic you are and endowed with gifts and things like that, and qualities and all kind of things like that, you see, how sincere you are, how intelligent you are, you could not show up at the tent of meeting of the tabernacle and the sanctuary and the temple and say, I know I'm not a priest, but, you know, I think just as good as you are. And I've got examples here and there, you know, the people call different kind of people, you know, a woman shows up or a man shows up, whatever it may be, and I'm going to perform the office, you know, the priest, whether you like it or not, you know, I'm just as good as you are. You see, nobody could do that. It was unheard of. Nobody thought that way, you see, until the false prophets showed up. And they thought that way. But the normal people that knew the law, they did not. So something had to enter into the mind and the heart of men for them to even begin this process of listening to voices, you see, and to think the voice of God. And so God says, okay, I'm going to deal with this kind of people. And so he gives the warning at the end time, chapter 13, and he gave it throughout the entirety of his writings, of the Bible, from beginning until the end, about the other spirit that is going to do a work of deception with a lot of truth in it. And for the people of God, the very elect, to be very much aware of that. And in chapter 13 of Zechariah, we read, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. And there is an awful lot of sin and uncleanness in the house of Judah and in Jerusalem and throughout Israel and throughout the entirety of the whole earth. But now Jesus Christ is opening the door for them. You see, because he's coming, as we just read in chapter 12, that he's coming, he's going to pour his spirit. He said in verse 10 of the previous chapter, and after he comes to deliver them, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they shall look on me, whom they pierced. You see, he's going to open their eyes. And now they're going to see how they've been deceived by their false prophets. They call them rabbis nowadays, from the past 2,000 years. They say Jesus Christ was a rabbi too. Teachers, that's what it means, you know. Rav comes from the word great. In other words, great one. Yeah, well, basically, that's the title they give to a master, teacher. And Christ warned us, don't call any man a rabbi, a master, a great one. The teacher, that a lot of people like to go around and say, I'm the teacher. You see? He says, don't call me people like that. There's only one master, he's in heaven, and all of you are brethren. You see? And you'll find them everywhere, all around the earth. And many of them are good, are right, are sincere, are righteous teachers, but there are many of them who are not. So you know, you have to know the difference, which is which. And chapter 13, this is what he says here. He's going to open that door of uncleanness, of redemption, of forgiveness for them, you see, for something that was not done before that. As I said earlier, you will not come. You know, that, you know, he told Jerusalem the last time that he entered there when they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, and all that. He said, you will not see me until you are ready to say, Hosanna, blessed be he that comes in the name of the Eternal. You see? And when he's going to open their eyes, and they're going to see him whom they pierced and recognize that they were responsible for it, along with all mankind. You see, obviously this generation wasn't there, so personally they are not. But you see, as people, the people of God, as part of that people, and as all generations are responsible for it, so the eyes of all are going to be open to see that. And here in specific, it talks about the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he's going to bring forgiveness to them. And mind you, why are they deceived? Because false prophets rose and said, the Lord spoke in, you know, through me, and I'm the servant of God, and they begin to teach the law of God when God hasn't called them to do it, you see? And they deceive many. And so he's going to heal them and clean them because of all that deception that came upon them by those that lied to them in the name of God. Verse 2, and it shall be in that day, says the Eternal of Hosts, speaking about Jesus Christ here, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. Now, who are the idols and who are the names of the idols in the land? Think about it. You don't go to Jerusalem and see, you know, like in the old days, ancient times, and, you know, a statue to Diana and a statue to Ishtar or Baal, things like that. You don't see those kind of idols. So what kind of idols do you see there? All the religious leaders. You see? And in Jerusalem, you find an awful lot of religions represented there. We're not talking only about Judaism. That's just one of them. But all of them. That's why it's called, you know, that city, you know, in Revelation, city of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. Because spiritually, you have all these religions there, and all those idols there, and all those teachings there, and all those priests and monks and rabbis and all kind of things like that, and self-appointed prophets. And you're going to see an awful lot of them appearing in the future. And some of them will call themselves the Messiah, and so forth. God says, I'm going to cut them off from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. Nobody can look to them anymore for truth, knowledge, and understanding, read their books, follow their teachings, which are a mixture of truth and error. He said, I will cause the prophets, that's the people he's talking about, the idols of the land, and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. You see? It's an unclean spirit that enters into them and they begin to prophesy or teach or self-appoint themselves or claim the Lord, you know, speaking through me and is doing a work through me. And they're doing it. And, you know, oftentimes they do not even realize what they're doing. They think that they're right. They're right in their own sight. But God hasn't called them. You see, those who study the law of God know all these things, so they don't fall for it. Verse 3, it shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, you know, there are any brave souls there, actually stupid souls, we're going to do it, in spite of that, because some of them are still not going to get the message for a while. So if anyone is going to do that, then his father and his mother who begot him will say to him, you shall not live. And that's exactly what you were reading in Leviticus 18. Those are people who know the law of God. God hasn't called you. You're doing your own thing. The penalty is death. That's what God said. Anybody who shows up and does his own thing there, he said the penalty for that, those kind of people is death. Simple as that. And people are going to begin to execute the law and the vengeance of God on such who self-appoint themselves. Now you find them by the hundreds of thousands all around the earth doing their own thing. You see? Going all over the world. Oh, we're going to bring you Christ, the love of Christ, and things like that. We're going to teach you in the name of God. They do it, you know, in Judaism too. They come and, you know, preach their own things. And God is warning his people, Judah and Israel and all the rest of the nations, don't fall for it. Don't go for it. You see? Because these people are going to come and begin to twist the scriptures and do their own thing. They're going to lead you from this to that and the other thing, and pretty soon you're nowhere. And that's a great tragedy that the people of Israel had fallen for generations. That's not something new. Only now we're going to see an awful lot of it. A total fulfillment of what Christ was saying in his day. Take heed that no one deceive you. For many. So we're going to see an awful lot of them all around. All doing work. You see? All you have to do is look at papers and magazines and things like that. And the publication of so many people, and they're not all speaking the same thing. Why? Because they've got all these prophets that do their own thing. Each does that which is right in his own sight. Now, had they all spoke exactly the same thing, you know, they open the book of the law and begin to teach you from it from beginning until the end, you see, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation, and go through it and say, look, don't worry, don't think about or don't believe or don't follow what I'm saying here. You see, I'm not the teacher. God is. Jesus Christ is the master. Let's see what he said about this and about that. Well, false prophets generally don't come that way. They're going to tell you, well, this is not really what it means. It means something else. Paul didn't mean this one and didn't, he didn't really think that way. It just, you have to know a little bit more Greek or Hebrew or whatever it may be to really understand what's happening there. And you see an awful lot of that nowadays, all around. It's been going on for 2,000 years. And you're going to see so much more so. And you see it in Judaism, you see it in Christianity, and you're going to see it in many other places. And so, this father and mother will say, hey, we know the law of God, and we know that you're not of God because what you're teaching is not the law of God. You see? And so, you shall not leave. Yes, we are your parents, but we're going to kill you. Because that's the law of God. I was talking about the time after the coming of Christ, obviously, and there's certainly no better at that time. And so they say, you shall not leave. Why? Because you have spoken lies in the name of the Eternal. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. You see? They themselves are going to take action. Well, this man apparently takes off, because in this parable, in essence it's a parable, because it didn't happen, it's going to happen. So God gives us an example of certain things that are going to happen and how people are going to handle it. Because it's going to put it in their heart to take care of those kind of false prophets. And so we read here in verse 4, it shall be in that day that every prophet, every one of them, there are so many of them nowadays, self-appointed ones, every prophet will be ashamed of his or of her vision when he or she prophesies. Everybody wants to prophesy nowadays, inspired preaching. That means the Lord spoke through me, you see. And they will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive. In the old days, the prophet always would wear a mantle. As a matter of fact, they do it to this very day in many religions, you see. And there are those people in Israel called the Mekubalim. Mekubal means, one who is received by the congregation and is accepted by them, and they are called the great ones, and they're supposed to have mystical powers and things like that, and they can tell you things, and they can heal you and do this and that and the other thing. And people go to them and listen to them, and if they're dead, they pray to them, all kind of things like that, you see. They do things on their own, and they generally have, their own special attire and clothing, things like that, and they do it in every religion. God says, I'm not going to do it anymore to deceive people. Because most people are dumb sheep. But if they are the sheep of Jesus Christ, they're not dumb. They know better. They hear only the voice of Christ and no one else would they follow. And so God is warning us, Jesus Christ is warning us, to be aware of those kind of people. And of course, not everybody does that. A lot of people today just, put a suit on or whatever it may be. And they do that. And so I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. Wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive. And where did they get that idea from? Wearing a robe of coarse hair. Well, remember the description of Elijah and John the Baptist. The kind of clothing that they had. And garment, that is, a garment of camel hair and things like that. And Elijah also had that special robe. So people say, well, I'm Elijah too. A lot of Elijahs out there. You see? And obviously, some people are going to do exactly the same or something similar to that or something to distinguish them, so people would believe them. And some of them just going to hang around with the Bible in their hand. And you see them everywhere doing their work. God hasn't called them. And so they give you some truth. They open some scriptures about Jesus Christ and this and that. And then they tell you a lot of lies along with it because God hasn't called them and there is another spirit in them. And so he said, I'm not going to do it anymore. Verse 5, but he will say, I'm no prophet. In other words, they're going to be ashamed that I'm going to do that anymore. And so this man that his parents just thrust through, and apparently they were just about to kill him, and he just fled. And he managed to wound him a little bit. And verse 5,
he will say, I am no prophet. I am a farmer. For men taught me to keep cattle from my youth. So he's going to deny, you know, when people look at him and realize there's something about this guy, whatever. Obviously, it's just a sort of a parable here telling you something that is going to happen in the future, in rough details. Verse 6, and one will say to him, well, what are these wounds between your arms? You see, because his parents went after him. And then he will answer, oh, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. You know, I just went to my, you know, my friends, had beer or things like that, and it got pretty rough, and, you know, people just started beating on each other. And that's what happened. Well, you know, it sounds humorous. But you see how God described it a long time ago, 2,500 years ago, about the end time. But this, it's not a phenomenon, because it happens all the time. That's the norm for many. And there have been always those false prophets. That's why Israel was always led astray. And because Israel was basically made of dumb sheep, because they did not study the Word of God day and night, did not know the law of God, they were not the very elect, you see, they were not walking with God as they should, and so it was easy for those to deceive them. And they come by the many, you know, the busloads. You see them all over the world. And so God is warning us against that. And that's exactly what he says here in the law. And he said it many times in many ways. And so this is what you read in chapter 18 of Numbers, the beginning verses. And so in verse 7, let's continue now with verse 7, where God says, and you and your sons, speaking about Aaron, with you shall keep your priesthood. See, only you and your sons, nobody else, not even Levites are allowed to do that. He just let them know how he thought about those who wanted to do it. You know, he just zapped them. And you and your sons with you shall keep your priesthood in everything that pertains to the altar and to that within the veil, and you shall serve. You see? And that would also, in terms of the Levites, they had the responsibility to be the teachers of Israel. And a man in Israel could not rise and say, well, I want to be a Levite. In other words, I want to be a teacher. You know, I'm going to go to a school, I'm going to pick up the book and read it, and then I would know it just as well as you do, and I'm good as you are, and I'm going to stand there, you know, just like you do, and get my own congregation and teach them. You know, what's wrong with that? I've got talents, I've got abilities. God gave me all these kind of things. Why can't I use it? Serve Him, you see, and serve the congregation. And God says, no, you don't do it. You're not a Levite. You don't do it, period. That's it. You know, you be a farmer, do away and whatever God gave you to do. You do not choose to serve God, unless He calls you to serve Him. And that's what He told Israel, and all of Israel knew it, basically in terms of the prophets, that is, in terms of the priests and the Levites. But what happened when they began to do their own thing? You see? And everybody showed up and said, well, you know, I can do a good job, just like, you know, a priest or a Levite. And that's how the many false prophets began to infest, you see, the landscape of Israel. And they led Israel astray again and again and again and again. And to this very day, they are doing it. That's what it says. Satan deceives the whole world. And he's got a lot of helpers on this earth. You know, Santa's helpers. And they're doing it. They're doing it everywhere. And they themselves are deceived and they don't know it. So we have to be careful about this kind of matters. If God calls us, really calls us, and we come and teach His law and His teachings, whatever it may be, you know, the more the merry. But if He hasn't done that, we should not just concoct it in our brain and think, yeah, that He had done it. And because God called many, you know, the Levites, as a whole, you know, cadre of teachers. They were not just two or three, many of them, to be the teachers. So God calls many. But as for the rest, you see, well, they should be careful about that. And many people are not. And so there are an awful lot of confusing messages. Confusing dates of keeping holidays, confusing this and confusing that, chaos and confusion. In other words, Babylon, and God commands us to come out of this Babylon, because we have allowed many, and we are listening to the voices of many, to be in our midst and to lead us astray. So verse 7, he said, you and your sons with you shall keep your priesthood in everything that pertains to the altar and to that within the veil, and you shall serve. I give you, not to somebody else, I give you the priesthood. Who gave it to them? They were not self-appointed. Nobody chooses that profession for himself. He says, I give you the priesthood as a service of gift. You see, that's by grace, so to speak. You don't earn it. And the common, that is the stranger, any Levite or any Israelite, and certainly any foreigner from other lands. And the common man, the stranger that draws nigh, shall be put to death. That's the law of Christ. That's the doctrine of Christ. This is a Christian doctrine. That's the law of God. That's the law of Moses. It's all the same. You see? And so you see, as we read in chapter 13 of Zechariah, when people begin to study the law and know all these things, they're not going to allow people to mess around anymore with their spiritual lives and lead them astray. They're going to check the spirit. We've been commanded to prove the spirits, to see whether they be of God or not. And many of them are, and many of them are not. And we have to know the difference to discern, you see. And we cannot do it unless you know the law very well. How would you know whether they lead you astray? Unless you know the law of God. How would you know that they follow Christ unless you know Christ and His teachings and His mind? And since people, most people don't, they don't bother to study. They want somebody else to do the thinking for them. You see? So it's easy to deceive them. And that's the fault of the congregation too. You see? By their ignorance, they allow the deceivers to deceive them, who themselves may not know that they are deceived, because they themselves have been deceived. And an unclean spirit is in them. And so in verse 8, we read, "And the Eternal spoke unto Aaron, and I..." That's what he says to him. "And I, behold, I have given you the charge of my heave offerings." You don't take it to yourself. "Even of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel, unto you have I given them for a consecrated portion, and to your sons, as a due forever." Nobody else can come and claim it. And the apostles never claimed that which was given to the priesthood. You see? Then it's, "Oh, now the law has changed, and now you give it to me." No, they use other instructions that Christ gave them, that the laborer is worthy of his hire, and God has ordained, as Paul made it very plain, the Lord has ordained that those who preach the gospel should live on the gospel. You see, they used, you know, these kind of teachings. They never said, "What you are commanded to give to the priest, now give it to me, because now I'm the priest." You see? Those things had to do with specific things that God said only for the priesthood, in conjunction with the temple and the sacrifices and things like that. So the apostles, you know, the men, the elders, you know, could not go in and say, "Hey, now you give me the first dough, you give me this and you give me that, and all things that you used to give to those priests over there, forget all about them. They're not Christians. They follow us. You see? You give it to us. Filthy lucre." You see? That's the greed that enters into the heart of man. That's where they begin to teach you, you know, these kind of things. And God hasn't said that. God said just the opposite. A lot of people are doing it. And so they go and clobber you with the law of tithing. Because it says in the law, "Give me a tithe." You see? Well, God demanded the tithe. Obviously, He did. But to whom? And for what purpose? And all the other things, and all the offerings. For whom? You see? And so we have to know the difference in understanding and what kind of scriptures to quote, you know, when it comes to the supporting of the ministry of Jesus Christ. None of them, none of the apostles has ever mentioned tithing for the simple reason they knew to whom it was given. But when they spoke about what God said. Those who serve you spiritually, feed them, care for them. That's what God told Israel, that is his disciples that went to Israel, to the lost house of Israel. "Don't worry about, you know, food or raiment and things like that. You know, whatever they give you, put on the table, eat." And sometimes they didn't put anything, and so they went hungry. And so we read about the apostles, oftentimes going hungry. And they were not about to say, "Well, hey, now, wait a minute, you know, I'm the apostle of God, the tithe belongs to me, you give to me, or else. Or you're a robber or a thief." They never use that language. They prefer to go to work at times. And that's what we are told about the apostles. They went out into the Gentiles taking nothing of them. Now look what happens with others, the false prophets that appeared on the scene. That's the first thing they hit you with, money. That tells you, you know, where they come from. And they still do to this very day. "Oh, we needed to do the work of God." And what they do is they do their own thing, oftentimes. Some of it may be the work of God. And so we have to be aware of all these things. Study the law of God, know exactly what it says and what it does not say. And then we're going to be able to test the, you know, the spirits and prove all things. Verse 8, "And the Eternal spoke unto Aaron, and he said, I, behold, I have given you the charge," this is Jesus Christ speaking here, of my heave offerings, even all the hallowed things of the children of Israel, unto you have I given them for a consecration portion, and to your sons as a due forever. And when the temple is going to be rebuilt, that will continue. And Israel will be commanded to continue to do what they used to do in the past. And they will give all those offerings to the priest. Verse 9, and to the Levites, be it in the temple or in their gates. And this shall be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. In other words, the things that were not totally sacrificed. You know, part of it goes to the priest. And obviously, some sacrifices, part of it went to the people that offered it. And this shall be your of the most holy things, reserved from the fire offering, that is, from the fire, every offering of theirs, even every meal offering of theirs, and even every sin offering of theirs, and every guilt offering of theirs, which they may render unto me. You see, it's to me, not to the work, it's to me. You see, people use that statement all the time, that, you know, word, the work, you know, give it to the work. You see, God says, no, you give it to me, and I'll let you have that. But I'll tell you exactly what you can have and what you cannot have. And what part of it you can have, and what part goes only to me and only to me, and nobody gets it, because it gets burned. And what part the people of Israel themselves should eat also. You see? And we don't have this comprehension and understanding because we do not study it. So we invent our own doctrines and teachings and understanding. We do our own thing in many ways. And so it says, those are the things which they render unto me shall be most holy for you and for your sons. In a most holy place shall you eat thereof. That's the only place you can eat it. You can't go outside and eat it. You see, that's a holy thing. So the in other words, the apostles, the leaders of the followers of Christ, they couldn't do that. You see, you could not go into the temple, into the court of the priests, and eat those things that Israel, or the people, you know, that followed now in the footsteps of Christ. You see, we're going to offer them. So obviously they understood the limitations. And what they can say and what they cannot, and what they can teach and what they cannot, and what they can receive and what they cannot, and under what circumstances. You see, these are all men well versed in the Torah, in the law of God, and that's a problem. Many that came after them were not versed in the law of God, and therefore they invented their own doctrines. And they began to do their own thing, and they do to this very day. And so I said, that's the only place where you can eat it. In a most holy place shall you eat thereof. Every male may eat thereof, it shall be holy unto you. And this is yours, the heave offering of their gift. Even all the wave offerings of the children of Israel I have given them unto you, and to your sons, and to your daughters with you, as they do forever. And he constantly repeats that, forever, and the place where you eat it is in the holy temple. You see, that is certain sacrifices. Other things, obviously, you can eat at home. You know, the regular tithe that they gave you, you know, they gave you that either in the temple or the gates, or the Levites were there, you know, 48 cities. So you have to know to study the whole system here and how God made it, and all of them had to do it as the Lord commanded Moses. And many of us have contempt to begin with for what God commanded Moses, what Jesus Christ commanded Moses, so we do our own thing. We got our own administration, we make our own decisions, we invent our own doctrines. Verse 11. It tells them exactly what they are supposed to be given and what it is due for them forever. Everyone that is clean in your house may eat thereof. Clean, you know, speaking about ritually, ceremonially clean. You know, if he is a leper, you know, he has to go outside. Obviously, he cannot eat it. Touch, you know, the dead body. Well, he can eat it. You cannot eat a holy thing. You have to go outside, you know, until you are healed or clean, whatever it may be, then he can do it, so forth. That's what he means by that. Everybody who is clean. He may eat in your house. If he's not, he's out. Verse 12, all the best of the oil and all the best of the wine. We're talking about, you know, the cream of the crop of the tithe of Israel and all the corn, the first part of them which they give unto the Lord. What's the first part? That's the tithe. You see? They give it to the Lord. They don't give it to a man. They don't give it to an organization. They don't give it to a work. They give it to the Lord. And if they give it to the Lord, it must be eaten, and, exactly according to the instructions that God gave. And by the people that God said, it belongs to you forever. You see? And people just disregard that, and they spiritualize everything, and they come up with their own religion, their own theology. And it says, which they give unto the Lord to you. To you, he says, have I given them. And many of us, if we're not careful of this, of the law of God and understand this, we are presumptuous. God hasn't given those things to us, and yet we claim, yes, give it to me, because I'm the servant of the Lord. You see, I've got a Bible here. And that's very unfortunate, what people do with the law of God. And verse 13, the first ripe fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring unto the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone that is clean in your house may eat thereof. Everything devoted in Israel shall be yours. You see, that's something that is only for the priesthood and the Levites. Nobody else could touch it because they were most holy things. And many of these things had to be eaten only in the temple. You see? That's why nowhere when you read the New Testament would you see them, you see, talking about all these kind of things not being given to them. Now, they mentioned tithing in terms of Abraham giving tithe and Jacob and things like that. You see? And the ministry of Jesus Christ. And he's the one speaking here. But still, even at that point, it still made a difference. God said, well, you support the ministry, you know, they're working for you, support them. But they did not apply all these laws that were to the priesthood to themselves. You see? You know, where do you see Jesus Christ talking about these matters? But Jesus Christ received, you know, offerings, donations, you see, contributions. There was always the bag, you know, that Judas was holding. You see, that was okay. But he did not say, well, you know, I'm Jesus Christ, I'm the God of Israel, you know, I'm the high priest and things like that, give it to me. He never told him that. You see, he's not about to break his own law. And yet those presumptuous that think, well, I can do it, you know, he didn't do it, but I can do it. And verse 14, he says, everything devoted in Israel shall be yours, and everything that opens the womb, you know, the firstborn of all flesh, which they offer unto the Eternal, both of man and of beast, shall be yours. Howbeit, the firstborn of man shall you redeem. And that's why, to this very day, they have this ceremony. When there is a firstborn, there is a redemption of the firstborn. They call it the pidyon. And the priest, you know, there's always a priest in the congregation, a person named Kohen. And then, and you know, they go through the ceremony. And he receives, you know, the coins. Actually, they made special coins for that, and they sort of exchange the coins. And, you know, you get the kid back, and, you know, I get the coins. And that's what he's talking about here. So the priest, he says, well, I want your animal, but I don't want your kid. You see, you know, that's contrary to the law. So, you know, have your kid back, but you know, have to do that. Have it redeemed. And this is what they do to this very day, in accordance with the law of Moses, as God commanded Moses. You see, that law is not done away with. And so this is what he says, when it comes to men, you shall redeem it, and the first line of unclean beasts, that is, the firstling of unclean beasts, shall you redeem. You see, if they are unclean, you know, you don't want a donkey in the temple, you're not going to offer it, you see, it's unclean, so that you redeem. A horse you redeem, a donkey you redeem, mule, whatever it may be. And only for clean things that become holy and you cannot redeem them. And the redemption money from a month of old, that is month old, shall you redeem them, shall be according to your valuation, 5 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. So to this very day you give them 5 coins, you see, representing 5 shekels, because obviously the monetary system is different, but they still have the ceremony of the 5 shekels, and they still do it to this very day, as the Lord commanded Moses. In other words, whatever you can do in terms of the law of God, you do. Things that you cannot do because, you know, there is no temple or this and that, you don't do. But the law of God is not done away with. It'll still be there. And when the temple is there, everything is going to be restored, because then you would be able to do all these things. And so this is what he says here. After the shekel of the sanctuary, 5 of them, and the same is 20 gerahs, because the shekel was 20 gerahs. Verse 17, but the firstling of an ox, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall dash their blood against the altar, that is, you know, after you kill them, obviously, and shall make their fat smoke for an offering made by fire. Their fat, nobody can eat. You see, it's supposed to burn it. That's a part of the offering to God. You see, so when you bring this kind of offerings to God, you see, God tells you what part he wants, what part the priest gets, what part Israel gets. And people spiritualize all that. They say, I want the whole thing to myself, you know, so I can do the work. And everybody says that, and they've got all these works duplicating each other and doing their own thing all around the world. By the hundreds of thousands of different kind of works and ministries. All of them for the money, to one degree or the other, unless God has called them and is really doing the work. And when you do, you see that the money is not the thing that they ever talk about. You see, they'll teach the law, and that's up to the people to do their, you know, whatever they do. And filthy lucre should not be the reason to be in that profession. And so God says to the priest, you shall dash their blood against the altar and shall make their fat smoke for an offering made by fire for a sweet savor unto the Lord. So that's a specific thing that only the priest could do. No one else could do it. Anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.